Hello and welcome to another episode of VG Club. I am your host, Daxter23 Jack, aka Paul slash Viv, joined by Ben, aka BJK394.
Eight.
Cool Luck, aka Marcus.
Hello, hello.
Javi, aka Javiously.
What's up?
Sorry, I was about to sneeze.
Oh,
Yeah.
was like,
And
was my
then
hello
last but
not
not
good enough?
the have to build the suspense for Chris. No. And then last but not least, Kriya9, aka Chris.
Hey.
And today we are we have joined together to talk about our latest game from the past what 6 to 8 weeks, Lost in Random. Oh, I didn't know I was supposed to
Favorite
clap for my
over
man.
the last 6 to 8? I'm not sure about that, but
I didn't say favorite, did I?
I didn't hear it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay,
Thought you said our favorite game
overall.
over the last 6 to 8 weeks, but yeah.
Well, I mean, like, it's competing with Silk Song and Hades 2. That's pretty stiff competition, to be fair.
Well, I mean, it could compete with anything, and it really wouldn't fare too well.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll get more into
Damn.
that, but
Marcus
Marcus, did
coming
you
in
want to
hot.
give
Yeah.
yeah, no, did you want to give us a summary of the story?
No. No, I don't.
Okay. All right. Let me do my best. So, Lost in Random centers around a pair of twin sisters, Even and Odd, and basically takes place in this, dark fairy tale world where the evil queen has constructed a caste system based off of a six-sided die, where when a child turns 12, they have to roll to see which town they're relocated to, and then they are forcibly taken from their parents and have to live there for all their lives. And yeah, and basically, both twins grow up in one croft, and Odd is taken to Sixtopia. The kind of the highest of highs, so to speak, and then yeah, even sets out on a journey, kind of like 11 months after her sister gets kidnapped, and it meets a sentient dice called Dicey, or I guess you can't really pronounce its real name. And yeah, they go on a journey and solve all sorts of conundrums across all the other number adjacent towns, Tuton, Four Treberg. I can't remember all of them, to be fair.
Like
And
Dice
yeah,
in
that's pretty
Hunger
much the story.
Games.
Sorry, what was that, Javi?
A dice themed Hunger Games.
Sure.
I
I
guess.
don't
I
think
mean, like,
dice
it's kind of
themed.
a kind of dark nature, but I feel like this game was really inspired by kind of like Tim Burton films, like The Nightmare Before
Oh yeah, the
Christmas, and it's
aesthetic.
definitely got
I mean
some what is it? Double Fine DNA, I think, in it too.
Oh yeah. No, the aesthetic's absolutely Burton. And actually, when I was playing it, my wife was like, "This dialogue, the sense of humor is very Psychonauts." So that all is exactly what I was thinking. But I was referring to the districts, like the different
Yeah.
class system. The higher your dice number for the is like the more well off.
Oh, yeah. No. Okay, cool. I was
So,
thinking the death games, death arena part.
right.
Question for you guys. Did you take it as the dice is like, oh, this is where you get relocated to, or that like all kids roll a six and she's taking them all? That was.
No, it just it depends. I think she's silvering off a bunch of the kids into six more so than it used to be, because I guess spoiler, since we're talking about this story, hop ahead like 5 minutes if you don't want anything story spoiled, but the Evil Queen is Sixtopia is a lie. It's all just a cardboard cutout, a shitty version of Disneyland. And yeah, basically she's harvesting children for their nightmares so she could feed some chthonic gods.
Okay, because I kind of took it as like she's just taking all the kids at this point. Like anybody that becomes, what is it, 12, 13? I'm just like, or I don't know what the age was when
12, yeah. Dies.
And then like it just seemed like everybody that even kind of came across that she knew at art had been taken. Like,
yeah.
I think it had like sped up recently because the plan was going into fruition. I guess I wanted to ask about, maybe some of you caught this, but the Evil Queen's motivation. So basically, obviously, you know, at the beginning of the game, her she's battling back-to-back with her sister. Her sister gets shot after she rolls, like, a one. And she gets obsessed about order and kind of wants to prevent her sister's death and kind of puts her in a time bubble. But I guess my question is, why was she kind of, I hate this term, but why was she grooming Odd, Even's sister, to be her kind of replacement? At first I was like, oh, she's going to use Odd's body to kind of, put her sister's soul in and kind of use Odd as a replacement for her sister. But then it sounded like when she was talking with the gods at the end, the gods or the black dice severed heads or whatever at the end of the game, it seemed like she was trying to be like, hey, this girl's gonna take over for me.
Time, like, I we don't know how long this has been going on, but okay. my guess is she's getting older and will need a successor.
I guess I just assumed it was like it had been like 20 years since the No Dice War, because, you know, like some of the people who would talk about it, like veterans of the No Dice War, would look like they were in their 40s or 50s.
Sure.
So I just figured the queen wasn't that old.
Everybody in this game looks like a freaky monster.
That's yeah. True.
Even that's the true. Children.
Oh, yeah. No. Very much Tim Burton-ish. Like, down to the freaking, there's the dog-like creatures, and I feel like they remind me of the werewolf from Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, the bondage sack guy.
The brother, is you mean?
The guy with, like, the super deep voice, and, like, he's all black, and he's kind of like a...
Oh, yeah, no, the boogeyman analog.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
That was an awesome premise for the three town, because it was just like, oh yeah, I love kidnapping. Do not take this out of context. Anybody who ever listens to that, the character, the Shadowman, is like, oh yeah, I love kidnapping children, and war is bad for business because I can't scare people anymore, and sends you out on a quest, and you're kind of going through all the like trench warfare, trying to like negotiate and into the war and figure out what happened that night. And then you figure out, oh, the Shadow Man actually murdered the previous king. Whoops. And I guess the Shadow Man was sending you on a possible test to kind of heighten the sense of agony about not being able to save your friend.
Maybe.
Okay. I awesome premise. I was just again confused by the kind of end, but I think that's also kind of a trend in the game for me. I feel like the game doesn't really nail the endings or the conclusions when it tries to kind of pull all the threads together, so to speak.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, while we're just on the subject of a story, like, the ending was kind of unsatisfying for me. I guess it was just like, okay, we the Evil Queen, you know, the sister's like, hey, I've been, even though you've been keeping me in a slow, like the her sister who's been in the time bubble is like, oh, I've been in pain for 20, 30 plus years because even though I haven't been dying, I've been like living the moments of agony up until my death. Please let me go. I'm not worth all of this. And then the queen has a change of heart and it's like, oh, I'm going to destroy the Black Die. And then they run, all the children run to a bridge. Dicey, Deus Ex Machina wise, pops out a bunch of umbrellas and they like Mary Poppins away. And that's the ending.
Yep.
That's how you tell a story.
Well, we gotta wrap this shit up. So,
well, the thing happy was ending. Like, yeah, and then like I was looking it up because like when I was typing and stuff for the game, I noticed like, oh, did they make a sequel or a DLC? I think it was supposed to be a sequel, and it involved kind of the Evil Queen. She's the main character of the sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that the
Eternal Die?
Yeah, that was the one that Ben was like, hey, make sure you don't play this one. And I'm glad, because that's a roguelike, evidently. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to play this better as a roguelike.
Maybe. Yeah, it was giving me some maybe Hades vibes. But I looked at, I kind of looked that up. There wasn't really a lot of story to it. And the ending was like the same thing. Like, and that's the end. Or is it kind of just hope? Like they're kind of like trying to seed the trail for a sequel, and I'm just like, yeah, that's never gonna happen. I'm sorry.
I think you could do anything with the world concept, right? Like it's
random. Yeah,
it's game boards and randomness and cards and shit. Like there's a ton of shit you could do, which is maybe not following completely off of this story.
Yeah, the game's definitely more of a like aesthetic and vibes based thing than an actual like, good, compelling narrative. You know, I think the art direction and the music and all that stuff is really, really good. But yeah, the actual like writing and characters are kind of whatever.
I don't know. I mean, like I got a good laugh out of some of the stuff, and I liked even as a protagonist and kind of the world building and all that stuff. So. I don't know. I mean, like, I think aesthetically, both, like, what you were saying, Ben, like, it's got a very, like, it's got its own style. The music is pretty good. I think the dialogue is very just tongue-in-cheek. It reminds me of just adventure gaming, a la, you know, LucasArts, like, Double Fine, that sort of stuff. So, yeah, honestly, I feel like it kind of, in those categories at the very least, it kind of fires in all cylinders and kind of hits more than it misses. But yeah, I guess I think it kind of moving along from like the story, unless anybody had anything else to say about the story.
I think plenty's been said about the story.
Okay.
I want to know what was the like point where like the negative opinion of this game was solidified? Like what? I don't know. I don't have a super strong opinion. Definitely not a negative one though.
It's just the game beats you over the head with these combat rooms, and the combat's bad. And even the bits that are fine, they're held back by the mechanics they chose to latch onto. You know, whether that be you can only have a certain number of cards to draw from as you're doing this, or like, oh, well, yeah, you got to use your little slingshot to get some crystals so you can actually use the cards. And it just, when it all came together, it's just like, oh, it made battles monotonous and made them cumbersome. And like, it always felt like the game was getting in the way of like having fun.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad I played this game. I think it's definitely like, you know, if I had to ascribe a number kind of rating to the game, I think it's definitely a 7 out of 10 looking game. And I think towards 5 Town or whatever the moniker they added to the end of 5 was, I started to lose steam. I was like, oh, this is a factory town. Like this used to be a burgeoning community of kind of like artists / kind of magic users, and then
I think the game also starts to lose steam with itself about then too, because five and six are very like, it's very linear and just like you're gonna go into this like death room, like a combat arena, and fight your way through so you can open a door to keep moving straight. Like, there's the exploration that is in the first four areas is kind of completely eliminated in five and six. It's just go forward. In fact, I think there's like even minimal subquests in five. Like it's very like once you hit five, it's we're going to the end.
Yeah, the even gets a death talk from death himself, just being like, "Oh, boo hoo 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 hoo," and just was like, "Was like, dude, you got superpowers, get over it."
That part was funny. That's definitely the like strongest and like funniest scene in the whole game. I did enjoy that one.
Yeah, and I mean, like, there's some like, at least for me, there was some like high highs in this. Like, I remember I really liked kind of just like navigating like trench warfare and trying to like, you know, figure out like the politics of this, just like spoiled children, and just trying to figure out what went on. I like kind of like the upside down town of Tutum or whatever the actual name of the city is. Kind of like the freaking Royam, mayor spelt backwards.
Mm-hmm.
I think I don't know. I felt like that was very creative. I liked navigating the city. I liked how everybody had like a dual personality, and a comment on the dual, you know, two-faced nature of, you know, politicians. That sort of thing. And then like I really liked the four town as well, because it was just like a gambling like carnival like epicenter, and like the payoff for that entire chapter where you're going up against the Bag Brothers, that was actually genuinely like creepy. I was like, ooh, this we didn't get a boss battle, so I was actually kind of excited to fight that boss. But yeah, after you kind of kill the Bag Brothers, and then their corpses kind of lead you to Death's canoe, it's just starts to burn out.
I want to, like, I don't have a negative opinion of it. It's just like I'm kind of meh. it's fine. Like I like the aesthetic that we talked about. I even think parts of the story are cool, and the world is really neat. I just, yeah, like the ending combat stuff, especially once you get to six, where they start to introduce like the pieces that heal the enemies, and they put you in these small arenas. I was starting to get really annoyed with that.
Yeah, like and I think that was another. I think that was another part of like chapter five or the five town that I hated, was they introduced the enemies where it's just like, oh, they're electrified, so you need to like use a bow.
Yeah.
You need to use a bow and arrow, or that card where like if you slingshot the freaking crystals, it does damage to the enemy. You have to use one of those. And I was just like, surely there's a way around this. Maybe I can like deactivate their electric shielding at least for a couple of seconds. And it's just like, nope.
Bombs also work.
Oh yeah, no. Environmental hazards, that sort of thing. And I think they're just trying to get throw off the people who might have just like overloaded their decks with lots of weapons cards. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Sorry. I guess I was just like, I don't want to have to keep cycling my cards around, hoping I get like the one card, like two of the three cards in my entire deck that can actually damage these enemies.
It's like blueprints all over again.
Oh, so you loved it, Javi? You can get enough of this game?
No, I'm kind of my thoughts on the game are exactly what Chris said. We're like, I appreciate the art direction. I think the idea is neat. The idea of you literally roll a dice and it determines like what tools you have to work with in a in every single combat situation, right? And it kind of like keeps things from like, you're not just going in with the same sword and the same this and the same that, but ultimately it does kind of end up being that way. Like, you have such a limited, I don't know, like maybe I didn't get that far. Like I didn't beat the game, but in what I did play, it was very much like the same set of tools for a long time. But I like the idea and concept. In practice, I didn't hate it, but I understand that it puts like a bunch of extra barriers to entry to just getting the combat over with. Like, but that is kind of what the game is. that whole system of roll the dice and then manage your cards and your energy. And so I kind of like am okay with that. When I have to put my money where my mouth is, I didn't finish the game, so obviously it wasn't compelling enough for me to see it the whole way through. But I did like what I played, and I think the visuals are way better than you would expect from a game of this. Like, I don't know what the budget is, but you have to imagine it's like kind of indie, in the indie space, somewhere around there. But it looks fantastic. Really beautiful game.
Yeah, and I don't know like what the like who the actual development studio on this game was, because it was if I'm on the Steam page, it says Zoink and Thunderful. And I don't know, like, apparently I've heard some stories about Thunderful. They recently got bought for $5.2 million, which sounds like a complete lowball for the kind of stuff they have done in the past. But there have been some kind of management stuff going on there, so that might have also impacted the game, because it feels like they did run out of road towards the end, and they, you know, as such, they were trying to like funnel everybody, the player, in a certain direction through kind of all these linear rooms after a while. So that might have also impacted the quality of the game.
Yeah, it definitely runs out of steam in the back half of it. I think that the first handful of towns are really good and really strong, but yeah, it definitely has some diminishing returns by certainly by 5 and 6.
Yeah, and I'm Javi, I'm there with you. Like, I got to the end of like 4 ton. I played a decent bit of the 5 town, and then I kind of dropped off and ended up kind of watching the ending and the cutscenes, some of that dialogue that happens between the cutscenes, like on YouTube, just to kind of get a full get the full story. So closure. But I'm always a bit more of a narrative buff, or I like that aspect of games way more than some of you guys do, at the very least. I know.
I've like been narrative. On this I just like good narrative.
Oh no! You're fair. I'm just saying, like, sometimes.
Who are you referring to?
Mainly Marcus. No. No, but I just like in the past on this podcast, like sometimes I'll be talking about the story of like Resident Evil 2, and then like you guys will just be like, it's Resident Evil.
Hey, Resident Evil 2 has a great story, but Resident Evil is stupid as hell. And I love Resident
Evil. So yeah, no, just kind of stuff like that. I think I tend to kind of like narrative is one of like, some people tend to kind of like, you know, in gameplay and narrative, there needs to be a good blend of both, I feel like, in every great game. But, well, maybe not every great game, but in a lot of great games. It's a delicate tightrope, but yeah, I tend to be a bit more of a narrative buff, or at the very least, simplistic narratives do the trick for me.
Fair.
But yeah, I think all of us are kind of, honestly, this is kind of weird, if that makes any sense. That like usually we like we tend to be a bit more like divisive with our overall opinion on the game, and I feel like all of us kind of are on the exact same page.
I mean, I'm generally pretty positive on the game, but I also didn't see it through, so I believe you when you say it completely runs out of gas and fizzles out by the end. Yeah, so I can't really.
No, and I'm kind of a bit more with my opinion. I think I'm a bit more with you there. I'm really glad I played this game. I think it's got its charm. But I think we can all agree on the shortcomings of the game. And I think, you know, people like Marcus kind of just, I think they fall more in the like meh camp, like, oh, it's got some good elements, but it's definitely got some shortcomings. Is that fair to say, Marcus?
So yeah. I mean, I think that's a generally fair summarization. It's just one of those things where like playing video games, And like the gameplay really needs to shine and needs to be compelling enough to see a game through. And this one, like almost from the jump, wasn't. Like Javi was mentioning, the sort of overall theming, I think, like it's a cool idea. Like here's this sort of roll of the die is gonna decide your fate sort of stuff, and that extends to the combat. But I think the execution is just like, oh, but they. Like they really needed to have thought about this more before, you know, plowing ahead with the game, which is sort of why I was like hoping someone here played some of that roguelite one to be like, is this better? You know, did they sort of take that concept and amp it up a little bit more and refine the combat so it's actually something that's fun to play? Because, you know, a lot of sequels tend to, they take what worked the first time around and then they really fix their shortcomings. And this seemed like a game that was prime for that.
Yeah, and like I guess I'm curious, like, do you feel like the combat in particular, do you feel like that just wasn't deep enough, or do you think it wasn't like varied enough? Because I think them trying to throw all across the board. Okay,
it's kind of both. Like it's not very deep because I think, as Javi mentioned earlier, like there's not enough cards for you to like really vary your tactics. You're going to have a couple melee weapons. You're going to have a couple like ranged. You're going to like a couple ranged cards in there. You have to have a healing card to, you know, so make sure that you can heal yourself. And then maybe like a card that buffs you, or a card that, like, I always had a card that gave me an extra card, like an extra pip to use, or one that would lower the cost of everything. So like there you're filled, you're done. You're all 15 of your cards are picked. And I don't think you get any weapons that are better than like the hammer later in the game. And you get the hammer pretty early on. It's like level 2 or 3 when that comes into play. And like that's what I mostly used. Like I would have the hammer and hope that came up. If it didn't, I used the little sword thing. And then I would always grab the bow if that showed up so that I at least had a weapon. It's just like, I don't think it never gets much more deep than that. But what it does do is those combat encounters, especially in areas 5 and 6, go on forever. So having to like run around, collect like the little gems so that you can roll your die just becomes like tedious, because then you're just like, all right, I need to get it to this side so I can use my slingshot to knock gems off the enemy and then kind of dash by him to pick some up. Oh, now I have enough. Now I can roll the die. Oh shit, nothing came up in this roll. Guess I got to do it again. And those battles just for me went on way too long at the end. And there was no variation in them. It wasn't like, this is more mechanically complex. This is more frustrating than it was earlier in the game.
Yeah, and all the enemies are mostly the same. Like you pretty much encounter all the enemies you will encounter in like that first town, and you just, instead of like, you know, making new or interesting enemies, they just throw more of them at you in the back half of it. And yeah, I think the thing about like the cards is like it in the menus, it gives you like, you know, you can make multiple decks. It's like, well, I never did that because I never had to. Like, there's no, you know, a second deck wouldn't really be any different than my first one because there just isn't enough cards in the whole game to really, like, you know, vary it up really all that much. So yeah, I think that's kind of the biggest weak point in the combat is like enemy variety isn't really super great, and yeah, there's just not enough you know, variety in the type of cards that you get. So pretty much I assume almost everyone just kind of did the same thing, which is like, you know, handful of weapons, like a potion, and then, you know, some other cards, and that's kind of all you can really, that's kind of the best and like most optimal deck you can build, and there aren't really other different ways to do it.
Yeah, if like I mean, that's pretty much the exact deck I had. So I mean, like, if you felt if everybody else had a very similar looking deck, then yeah, it seems like it kind of funnels you towards a specific deck set. Do you feel like I'm just curious? Do you guys feel like if they had like added the ability to insert more cards into your deck, that would have been, had a positive impact, or do you think it would have screwed up the balance of the game? Like change it from like 15 cards to like maybe like 20 or 25 at the highest, and just like every chapter.
I think it's more than even more card variety, more weapon variety, and also enemies that weapons were catered to.
Yes.
So it's like, oh yeah, this guy I need to have, make sure, or like maybe this area, definitely all the enemies you needed bow and arrow or whatever, you know.
Hmm. Okay. But yeah, I mean, honestly, we've kind of talked about how just aesthetically, you know, like visual, audio wise, it seems like the game kind of fires on all cylinders. It kind of has a, what's the word I want to use? Not mood, aura, but I feel like it nails the theme it's going for pretty successfully, and the voice acting's just pretty good across the board too. But I mean, was there anything else about the game that stuck out to y'all before we get into our final thoughts?
The budget. I felt like, especially in that war zone, they weren't quite able to deliver the feeling of a war zone. And so while things look really nice, it also, like, here's all the rails, and here's, like, your really limited viewpoint into anything. Things like that just sort of, I don't know, it made the whole experience, when coupled with the clunky combat, just feel like, yeah, this isn't quite there yet. And I felt like it's a game that released, like, a year or two too soon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fair enough. And then, yeah, I guess before we get into our final thoughts, I wanted to briefly ask, like, what did y'all think of, like, the board games? Like, the game will occasionally make you play. There's usually, like, a couple of variations, the main one being, like, oh, you've got a, you know, like, a chess piece, and you need to get it all the way to the end, and just kind of, like, fight enemies along the way. There was that one that I guess I wasn't too high on, but they added some, like, other kind of like board game stuff, like, oh, get the piece to the end while like a wall is like electrified wall is slowly coming towards you, or get all the balls into the pit, that sort of thing. Any of those stick out to y'all?
I liked them. I thought it made at least made the combat encounters engaging, and the fact that like I'm rolling my die and that's moving me forward. And like, there's a reason for me rolling my, other than it just being like, I'm in an arena and I'm going to roll my die because that's how I get my cards. Like, it's like, there's a start purpose here, and there's an end goal to get to, and we're moving through an environment. I thought that was neat way, especially with the theming of everything kind of being cards, dice, games. The board game thing was a neat, you know, addition to it all.
Okay. No, I'm glad. Yeah, I definitely wish
the game did like more of that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, because you know, I think some of those. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, I talked over you, Marcus.
Yeah, I was just saying it gave those encounters purpose, but not just purpose, but it also made it so that you're not just waiting for the end. It felt like you gave the player a little more agency of like, okay, let me try a roll a certain way. And there's some strategy too, where, you know, in some of those arenas, like there'd be certain places where, yeah, if your piece lands here, then something else happens, a bonus thing happens, and that can enable you to you know, keep moving.
Yeah, there was like there was the one with the cannons. Like if you have to kind of go around and you got to get to that piece to unlock the cannon so you can shoot at the front. One of the other ones was where you're moving the piece around, and it's might have been the one with the electrified thing coming after you, but it's like, here's one enemy. You have to kill this one enemy. It's kind of on a perch, so you're gonna have to like find a way to do that. But that's it. Like once you kill him, then the wall comes down and you can progress forward. Instead of like most of the arenas being like, all right, here's 15 guys, kill them all. And then a door opens. Yeah, like there was an objective to the encounters in the board game.
Because I'm trying to think, like the board game encounters, there was the one and two where it's towards the two ton town where you're trying to get to the end and trying to destroy the paper moon. Mm-hmm. And then in three, there was the one with the cannons where you're trying to get the mechanical arm as your prize so you can bring it back to the royal guard.
Yep.
And then four, there was the three kind of arenas you did to get the threads. Honestly, I really liked the kind of side stories that got told about that. Like there was one that was talking about the dangers of like codependency and just how being obsessed with your partner in a relationship can be a very dangerous thing. And then kind of one talking about like, you know, cowardice. And then I'm trying to think what the other one was. It was, oh yeah, the guy who tosses you in the trash chute towards the beginning of the game. You have to save his ass because he had to flee Tutun because he was like, oh shit, the queen's going to come after me because I let you go.
Yep.
So yeah, like all that stuff was fun. But yeah, I think that was like, in the 410 Berg, that was the only time you kind of got the varied kind of arena maps that had you doing other objectives besides trying to get to the end or clearing out all enemies.
Yeah.
Well, if anybody's interested in what the developers for this did after, because they left the studio, but at least the artist started a new studio and made The Midnight Walk, which is very positively reviewed.
That's one I've been looking at to pick up, waiting for a nice sale on it.
You said it's called The Midnight Walk?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to keep an eye on it. Thanks,
Hog. Like a stop motion, looks almost like claymation.
This art style is like it would fit in with Lost and Random.
yeah.
Definitely tell it's the same artist for sure.
Yeah. Neat.
But yeah, that's Lost and Random. I guess if none of you have nothing else to kind of add, let's go into our final thoughts.
Sure.
Did you want to start us off, Ben?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, I mean, ultimately, I think it's, you know, like a lot of us said, it's a 7 out of 10 game in a lot of cases. I think its art direction is very, very strong. That's definitely the highlight and the best part of the game. But yeah, I think I was more hot on the game early on. But yeah, the last couple towns kind of burned me out on it. I think I don't know if overstayed is welcome, more so that it just doesn't have enough variety to withstand going through all six of the towns. You know, I the game definitely peaks around like towns 3 and 4, and then just kind of burns out after that. But you know, ultimately, yeah, I think it's not a bad game at all. I think it's a pretty good game, but you know, just has, you know, its share of shortcomings.
Do you like it more or less than Evil West?
I don't know. Probably maybe around the same, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's more... games are like in that 7 space, 7 out of 10 space.
Fair. What about you, Javi? You said you kind of ended up more positive on the game than us, but you were also trying to add the caveat that you didn't finish it, so
Yeah, it's
maybe
like
not, might not have gotten to the parts that we did where we started to lose gas.
right. It's I mean, I've played this game about the same amount before, like when it was pretty new. I was like, "Ooh, that looks cool. Let me try that." And I remember like getting to the end of Three Town, Threeville or whatever. I was like, this is a good stopping point for tonight. And then I just never came back. And I basically did the same thing, maybe got a little bit further this time. And I think that kind of, I have to kind of come to the conclusion that that's because the game just isn't as compelling as it needed to be for me to, I'm not like, oh my God, I gotta get back to it, right? But that being said, I do always like when I think back on Lost in Random, I'm like, yeah, that game's cool. It's a cool, like, smaller game that is punching above its weight class. It's probably trying to do more than they were capable of, like, technically or budget-wise. But I kind of appreciate that. So, yeah, I mean, I agree that it's a seven-ish kind of game, maybe lower, maybe higher. But I think where I land on is like I'm rooting for it, and I definitely wouldn't come with like a negative forward opinion on it. So yeah, I don't know. I'm curious about this new game that, which actually I have in my library somehow, so I should check it out.
Woo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never heard about this game when it at first released. I think the first time I heard about the game was when showed up on Ben's list. I mean, I just kind of surprised that I completely like missed any news or talk about this game when it came out, because I think it does some interesting games or interesting things, even if it ultimately falls short. And yeah, I think kind of same consistency, kind of same consistency, a consistence, consensus,
You're almost there.
Consensus?
consensus. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry. I grew up with a speech impediment. Sometimes it shines through. But yeah, seven out of 10 game kind of starts to lose gas towards the end, but I think it's got a lot of it's got its own sense of charm. I think it's worth playing, especially like I bought this game for like $5. I think $5 is a perfect price for this game. I got like 6 to 8 hours of like good times out of this game before it started to lose steam. So I think it's definitely worth playing, and I think everybody's individual kind of opinion, their own results may vary, but I feel like ultimately I'm glad I played this game. What about you, Marcus?
I think this is like a 7-5 game that's bogged down by gameplay that just is so lacking. That it, for me, it probably goes down to like a 6 or maybe even less, depending on how I'm feeling at the time. The aesthetics are very strong, but that's not all that's needed for a game. And while I think they generally nail the tone, they go for, it's not always something that's like the most coherent either. I don't think we really talked too much about like the little narrator side bit that they had in the game, and some of that was like, oh, this is a little charming. Oh, it's still going, huh? You guys are really going with this narrator stuff, and it doesn't really amount to much of anything. And so
Yeah.
like there's it feels like there's threads like that all over the game where it's like I'm not sure what you guys were like going for here. It seemed like a lot of ideas that they just sort of threw at the wall and hoped some of them would stick. And I just wish that they had taken that sort of creative effort and did a little bit more on the gameplay side of things, and thrown a few more ideas at that wall.
Yeah.
It
And I
like I
mean,
said,
like,
it. Go
oh,
ahead.
sorry. Go ahead, Marcus.
I'm just saying, like it's again one of those things where with such a strong concept. I almost feel obligated to try out the Eternal Die. Like, I am going to do that before the next time we meet, just to be like, okay, was this any better? Because to create a whole other game, like, I know Roguelites, you know, a little bit less production-wise than this game, but I have to imagine they didn't just take the formula that already existed and kept moving forward. I have to hope that they didn't do that.
Let me ask you a question, yeah. Marcus. Do you like Dragon Ball GT?
Fuck no, dude. Sorry.
It's
a visceral reaction. Like, the monkey was cool. Super Saiyan 4 was cool, but like the rest of that and like the little kids, like whole quest and baby, nah. Not feeling it.
Okay, yeah, and the reason I bring it up is literally the story kind of starts off like freaking GT, where it's just like the evil queen gets turned into a kid.
Oh no, it's not like a prequel. That's a thing that happens after.
It's her redemption.
Ugh. Man, with such a strong fuck no as a response, I thought you were just going to say, I don't watch anime. But then you started getting into the details.
Yeah, but I mean, I think we all still sort of fall pretty close to each other. Just some are more positive than others. And I am more negative on this game, just sort of as a result of those gameplay shortcomings.
Cool. And then, finally, Chris.
Yeah, I think it has a really awesome look to it. A cool world concept. I thought the story was kind of cool, too. It's the overall execution, just a bit questionable in some spots. And I played all the way through it. So, I think if I was like, I absolutely hate this game, maybe I came very close at the boss in chapter 2 when that arm kept swinging around and I just was not getting the cards I needed. I was very close to just being like, I think I might be done, but I beat him. And then, you know, it was fine up until like the end of 6 when it was some shitty encounters there. So, I mean, I had fun with it. I think it's worth playing. Exactly where I think everybody else fell though. Like, right. It's like, it's fine. Like, it's a fine game.
Like, I am more or less than Evil West.
Yeah. I would probably play Evil West again before this, but I just prefer like a more straightforward action game than what this gives me. Like, the combat is so, it's disjointed because you have to roll the die and you have to pick your cards. Also, there's encounters where you fight the Shadow Queen and she moves in the dice realm. So that sucks.
That's a cool idea, though.
It is. So it's like you have to like be very quick with your selections, but it can also fuck you up because you're being very quick with your selections. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and you can also move in the dice realm. But anyway, yeah, like it's some cool concepts. I would probably play Evil West again before I played this, but I'm glad that, you know, we chose it and played it because I don't know if I would have got to it otherwise. And it was neat. That's it.
I agree. I similar to Javi, although definitely not as far back as Javi. Like, I had started this game before we even chose it for Game Club, just because you know, I saw it on some direct at some point. You know, one of those game shows. I was like, oh, that looks neat, and then saw it was on EA Play. So why not try it?
Yeah.
And then it didn't pull me in at the time. And I was like, I'll come back to this like later. Like, it's fine. It was just one of those things where it's like, it's not bad. It just wasn't grabbing me.
Yeah.
And the more exposure I got to the combat, sort of the sour I got on it.
It's all good. We're done it now.
Yeah. So what do you got for us,
Javi? I can't hurt you anymore. Sorry, what were you saying?
Oh, just what do you got for us for our next
game? Oh, I have great news for everyone. Not one of these games has RNG. They just are what they are. I know y'all just hate that. All right, let's start off with the big boy that I probably no one's going to vote for, but I hope you do because it's the shit.
Baldur's Gate 3, man. Oh, okay.
Second up, Ghostwire Tokyo. Third, a game that a lot of us can probably use these days, Wolfenstein.
The new orders, one. the second one, and not one of the expansions,
that's the sister
right?
one.
That's the first one of the reboot.
Okay.
Yeah. New game. Hell is Us. And then some deep cuts here. From the creator of Silent Hill, Slitterhead.
I was hoping it was just going to be Silent Hill.
From the creator of Silent Hill, we have Silent Hill.
Yeah, and then from left field, Wheel World.
Ooh, see that? Chill one.
Keep in mind, Bloodborne, well, I guess if you have a PS5, you can play it. So yeah, should be pretty accessible if you have a PlayStation. You could also play it on PS4.
I gotta ask, one of these is not like the other. Why Wheel World?
I don't know what this is. That's what I'm looking it up right now.
Wheel World's cool.
Yeah,
it's a biking game.
Yeah, it's such a like mellow, chill vibe. I played it on Steam Next Fest, and I played the demo. I really loved it. I bought the game, so it's just sitting in my library. I haven't touched it yet, but. I basically like I look through my list of titles that I have purchased that I haven't touched yet, and was like, what am I in the mood for? What would I happily jump into? So, and then also Bloodborne.
Is Wheelborne like I'm seeing some of the gameplay right now? Is there like there's platforming elements to yeah? Okay,
are you looking up the right game? Because you said Wheelborne.
Yeah,
Bloodborne. There is a Bloodborne kart racer. We could do that.
Oh yeah, I have Bloodborne kart. Well, it's not called Bloodborne kart anymore, right? It's a
right
Nightmare kart.
Yeah,
they changed it for legal reasons.
Yeah, it's neat though. It's cool.
Yeah, I can't really get a read on whether I would enjoy Wheelborne because, like, if it focused more on the platforming,
Wheel World.
Oh, okay. There's a game literally called Wheel. Sorry.
I don't know what that game is. I need to look that up. Wheelborne.
Yeah. Maybe I'll throw that in here.
Yeah, it's like a cel shaded like a car game, kind of. So yeah, Wheel World.
Oh, there is Wheelborne. Look at that.
It's very positive on the reviews. I could fuck with Wheelborne. Okay, I'm gonna add that to my wish list. Happy accident.
This looks weird as hell. I'm in.
Yeah,
and it's free.
Real as hell. Oh, it is free.
Oh, it's free.
Yeah, free to play.
Strange. Well, yeah, we're not playing that one though.
Okay.
Wheel World is also available on Game Pass.
All right. And right. Then Hell Is Us. I've heard of that, but what type of game is it?
It's kind of a story-based character, not character action, but it's a sword game. You have a sword. And you go kill stuff, but you also are like, I think a big thing about it is like the quests, like you go out and you meet people and talk to them and they tell you what they need or what their problem is. And then you personally need to like take note of what that quest is. It's not going to put a marker on a map and you go to the marker and do it. You kind of have to like be thoughtful and mindful about like going and accomplishing those things. So it's kind of expects more of the player in that sense. You're not just following, you know, checkpoints, but it is, I believe it's like a hack and slash like combat game, but also looks super cool. It's like a post-apocalyptic place
with some like Dark Souls-y type elements to it, I believe, as well.
Yeah. So you might as well just go Bloodborne, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, honestly, yeah, I've never actually played Bloodborne despite playing a lot of the Souls games.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go vote for Bloodborne twice. Well, it won't let me vote for Bloodborne twice, but I think it's already in the lead.
Holy crap, I'm getting my wish. So exciting. I'm going to be streaming my playthrough of Bloodborne in October.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a co-op playthrough, but my friend has never played it, and he hates Souls games and is dreading this whole thing, and we're passing the controller back and forth on each death, so it's basically going to be me carrying it the whole time.
That's a cool concept.
I know, like, yeah, when you said, like, a co-op thing, I know, like, some older games, especially, like, in speedrunning community, they've been using this kind of tech called the Archipelago to kind of insert, like, co-op and, like, new game elements into, like, older games, like, anywhere from, like, Sonic Adventure 2 to something a bit more modern. So I thought that's what you're they implemented that into Bloodborne. I was like, ooh, well, that sounds fun.
Well, Bloodborne does have co-op capabilities. It's limited and obtuse as hell. Like, you need you can't join another person's game unless they've gained insight, which is like either a consumable that you can find littered around the map, or when you encounter a boss, it gives you insight from just seeing it. And then you have to be able to spend that with a certain item to like open your world. And then on their end, they need to do another list of things, and then they can enter your world, and then you're playing together. But once you defeat any boss, it kicks them back out into their own world. So it's not smooth. It's really ridiculous to get it working, but it does have co-op in a way.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think I'm gonna go Bloodborne, and it seems like that has the most votes right now. Everybody's voted, cool. Right?
Yeah,
you're all about to have a new favorite game of all time. I'm just saying.
I think this one's I might need collect, a little right? bit. I might need a breather between Silksong and Bloodborne, but I think I will enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
You can totally use a shield in Bloodborne, right?
Yeah,
they give you a shield, and the item description is like, "This is useless, and it's for cowards." So the shield is literally useless.
Okay, I gotta work on my parrying skills because, you know, I'm a parry master.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm gonna give you any tips up front, it's notice that, like, when you take damage, your health bar has, like,
depletes. Orange. Got it. No, I'm kidding.
Well, it has it goes from your health bar is usually red, and when you take damage, a little bit remains that's orange, and you have like 3 seconds before that orange just fizzles out and disappears, and then you've officially lost that health. But if you can hit back within that 3 second window, you can refill the orange and get that health back. So Bloodborne mechanically is like, be aggressive, fight back, you know? And so that's kind of like a big part of the game. And then parrying, yeah, you want to get good at studying attack animations, and then you have two options up front with your parrying tool, which is either a pistol or a shotgun. Shotgun has more stopping power, but there's a delay, like a second delay before it fires, so it's a little harder to time it. And then the pistol is instant, but it doesn't really stagger anybody. So and keep in mind also the hardest part of this game, the like first big hurdle, is the opening area, Yharnam. And if you can get through that, you can do the game. You can beat the game. But that first area is kind of a trial by fire. Don't give up. And if you really need help, I can jump in your game and help.
I thought Father Gasqua was the trial by fire.
Yeah, I mean, he's the first. I mean, there's an optional boss in there, but Father Gascoigne is kind of the boss to get out of Yharnam. So I count that as kind of like, if you can get past him and master getting through Yharnam, that central Yharnam rather, then you're good. You can do anything.
Can you play as a magic user in Bloodborne? Because that's how I got through all of Elden Ring, just being a magic user.
So I have never, I think it's called Arcane in Bloodborne, I believe. I've never made a character that prioritizes that, and I think that is for
cowards.
That is for like it's for cowards. No, it's for like really well-seasoned players, because you don't get anything that relates to Arcane until like halfway through the game. Like, you're kind of screwing yourself if you lean in that direction. I think if you want to play, it's kind of like Pokemon, where like the three starters are the difficulties for the game. And I think the lighter weapon, the threaded cane, is the hardest, the hard mode. And then the titular, like, saw cleaver that's on the cover of the game and all the marketing material, that's medium. And then easy, and I say easy with quotes because it's not easy, but it's easier, is the heavy axe. The heavy axe can get you through a lot, and you just do like a charged attack and you'll wipe out a bunch of people. So if you want to go easy on yourself a little bit more, go for the axe up front.
Axe it is.
There you go. I believe in you. You can all do this.
All right. So join us next time, where we will be discussing Bloodborne. Javi will probably be very happy. I can't guarantee Marcus will be.
I'm a pro gamer.
There you go. You don't have to roll the dice for this one.
Yeah. All you got to do is get good.
Exactly.
Awesome. All right. So, yeah, join us next time for some Bloodborne. And thank you so much for listening, y'all. And I hope whoever's listening has a wonderful day. Bye, folks. Say goodbye, Marcus.
Bye, y'all.